From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. Colombia is a country rich in biodiversity. Indeed, no other nation can claim more species of birds and amphibians. And Colombia ranks among the world's top countries in abundance of flowering plants. But the country's 40-year-old civil war and its accompanying drug industry have taken a toll on the natural world. The Colombian government estimates 2.5 million acres of forest have been cut down in the last decade to make room for coca and lately for poppy, the raw material used to make heroin. Add to that the damage done by the chemicals used to grow and process these crops. In the second of our two-part series on Colombia and the environment, Angela Swafford traveled deep into rebel-held territory. She has this firsthand view of the damage to Colombia's Amazonian forest and has this report.
The air is moist and warm on this early morning at the airport in Florencia, a small city deep in the southern corner of Colombia. Two military helicopters filled with well-armed soldiers sit on the tarmac, ready for takeoff. I board one of them with Army General Roberto Pizarro.
General, ¿a dónde vamos en este momento?
Vamos para Tres Esquinas, Caquetá, que es el puesto de mando de la Fuerza de Tarea Conjunta del Sur.
We're heading to Tres Esquinas in the state of Caquetá, the command post for the Joint Military Forces in the southern region of the country. The Southern Joint Task Force is the unit that groups all military and all police forces in the states of Putumayo and Caquetá. They're devoted to combat narco-terrorism, a true evil for the nation.
We fly over savannas interrupted by milky yellow rivers. The water quickly gives way to a thick carpet of roadless rainforest. This territory is controlled by the leftist rebel group Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, a wealthy guerrilla organization that now runs most of the illegal drug business in Colombia. On this trip, we must fly higher than normal to avoid their fire. The forest underneath us is probably filled with members of the rebel group. It also teems with other life: ocelots, jaguars, monkeys, giant armadillos. Unfortunately, in Colombia, a map of the most fragile biodiverse regions of the country would fit nicely on top of a map of its drug crops.
Look
at those balding spots here, there, and those two over there. You can see where the soil has been disturbed. Those are coca crops.
Other areas have just been burned down and are ready to be planted, while others still show a bright green blanket of seedling coca plants.
In this region of the country, there are over 185,000 acres of coca crops planted right now. It's estimated that in order to maintain each planted acre, 4 more acres of forest need to be cleared. So the deforestation is in fact 4 times more serious. Here, almost 400 acres of forest have been destroyed in order to maintain such high numbers of coca crops.
I can see what he means. Each planted plot is surrounded by a wider ring of cleared land. The general points to a couple of small red roofs. These are makeshift labs where coca leaves are processed into paste and powder. I can barely see the wooden huts hidden under the canopy. It's Pizarro's job to destroy these labs through a combination of aerial bombing and raids by ground troops.
We launch offensive strikes against the coca crops and the processing labs on a daily basis. We destroy an average of 3 labs a day. Last year, we destroyed 800 laboratories just like this one.
Coca has a 4,000-year tradition in South America and holds an important place in Andean indigenous culture. But now, it is the cornerstone of the FARC drug business, helping the guerrilla group pull in more than $1 billion a year.
Whoa!
Tres Esquinas, or Three Corners Military Base, sprawls at the confluence of two large rivers. For the soldiers here, this is a small ring of safety surrounded by enemy territory. Its runways are long enough to handle jet fighters, radar planes, and transport aircraft, not to mention the many helicopters donated by the U.S. government. Washington's latest investment in the drug war protrudes above the jungle like a giant white golf ball on a tee. It is a $13 million radar station that scans the horizon for small planes ferrying cocaine over the Amazon. I follow the general to a makeshift wooden hut where a soldier on a megaphone will walk me through a VIP demo. Today, I happen to be the sole VIP around, so I get a private primer on how coca leaves are turned into coca paste. First, a soldier chops up coca leaves that have been picked from the base's own coca plots, used for demo purposes only, of course. Then the leaves are mixed by foot with water and cement powder. I can't help but think of a grape stomping scene in Tuscany. Eventually, this pulp is mixed with gasoline and sulfuric acid, a combination that disintegrates the leaves and draws out the active ingredient. The paste is left to dry under the sun till it's ready to be converted into the infamous white powder. That recipe calls for many more chemicals: acetone, potassium permanganate, ammonia. Entire drums of this leftover broth are dumped onto the ground or into rivers. Add to that the thousands of gallons of pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers these crops require. Then take that process and multiply it by the 580 tons of cocaine produced by Colombia every year. It adds up to an environmental disaster. The nervous system of this base is located inside an enormous white tent. Once inside, you feel like you are in a midtown Manhattan office. Commander Hugo Acosta runs the day-to-day operations here, and he's also responsible for relations with the local peasant community. These same farmers actually grow the coca for the guerrillas. The commander says these people are caught in a catch-22. They would like to be able to grow their traditional crops, but these yield very little money compared to what the guerrillas pay for coca.
We're trying to wean these people off coca by finding a way to distribute their traditional crops in other regions of the country. I've even given orders at the base to buy everything they produce: plantains, yucca, fish. I don't care if no one consumes it.
And while the peasants are paid for their labors, refusal isn't an option. Peasants have been killed for doing so, and even a side business is not allowed.
But what happens is that the narco-guerrillas that control the territory don't allow them to sell the very few yuccas or plantains they grow next to the coca plants, because they don't want the peasants having any contacts with the enemy of the outside world. So the result is that the peasants are forced to grow only coca and sell it to their masters, and anyone seen contacting us is marked as a rival.
In addition to destroying coca processing labs, this base is a launching point for a controversial U.S.-funded fumigation program. Each month, at least five such missions take off, made up of one small crop duster and a helicopter riding shotgun. The plane sprays a mixture of the herbicide glyphosate and other chemicals. In the course of a year, over 75,000 acres of coca crops are destroyed in this way throughout the country. I've been promised a ride-along on one of these missions, but just moments before I'm to board one of the fumigation helicopters, I get some unsettling news. One of them has just been shot down by the FARC.
Yes, they hit the chopper, and it suffered an emergency, and they had to land there where it was fumigating. We're going to send troops there right now to protect it.
Things are very hot now, and the general has decided to evacuate me. I had also been told I could witness the preparation of the herbicide, and there were plans to make contact with some of the peasants in the fields. Now, all that is impossible. I am escorted to a chopper, which will take me out of the base area.
In a way, it's good you had to witness this emergency, so you can see for yourself what these terrorists are all about. They're all about protecting their drug business.
The chopper doors are open, and I am strapped to the back seat. There is nothing to hold on to but the base of a machine gun. As soon as they drop me off, this crew will attempt to rescue their downed comrades. That night in Bogota, I learned that before the rescue mission could reach them, the downed crew was murdered by guerrillas. During the following weeks, it's impossible for me to get into the region again. Fighting has escalated, and getting out of the main cities to try to talk to peasants growing coca is out of the question. For me, they might as well be on another planet. For Living on Earth, this is Angela Swafford in Bogota, Colombia.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.